It's noon here in Ventnor City, New Jersey, and our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and this is news that you can use from Car Edge for Tuesday, April 9th, with your host, me, Ray, and the other guy, Zach. How are you today, Zach?
Doing great. Happy Tuesday, y'all. Today's show brought to you by Car Edge, our company, damn it. Go check it out, caredge.com. And every once in a while, I know it says no dealers, no hassle, serious savings. Every once in a while, we do get some dealers on the channel. Today, we're going to be talking Toyota. Who better than to talk Toyota with than Tyler from Chuck Hutton Toyota, general manager over there. Tyler, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today.
Hey, man, glad to be here. How's everybody doing?
Well, you know, I'm good. Tyler, you're good. Zach, you're good. Tyler, tell us what the hell is going on with Toyota.
Man, you can tell us, and then I'll take the direction somewhere else. Go for it.
I mean, Toyota, we're doing great. And excitingly, we're actually seeing some inventory land on the lot and actually be here. When consumers show up, we have something that we can say, hey, we can actually show you this. You can sit in it. You can walk around, which is not something we've had for a while. In fact, we were having to do that with, you know, if they wanted to see a car, we had to be like, well, this one's already sold. You can look at it. You can't get in it. It's somebody else's car. But, you know, we're happening to have a few cars land on the lot, which means Toyota finally, again, is starting to throw out some incentives, right? Like some little piece. And granted, it's small. You know, we still ain't seeing 0%. We're not getting any of that stuff. But we're getting something. We're getting something.
Tyler, I want to share some data with you on the screen. I also want to encourage everyone. Again, Tyler's with Chuck Hutton, Toyota in Memphis, Tennessee. Check him out if you're interested in. And obviously, you can purchase through Car Edge. We have existing relationships. That being said, ask your questions for Tyler in the chat. The data I want to show you, Tyler, is we ran the fastest and slowest selling cars for the month of April. So we ran all the numbers on Market Day Supply nationwide. And I want to show you something and get your reaction to it. We're going to look at the fastest selling cars in the country right now. Bear with me. Tyler, would you believe it if I told you that 60% of the top 10 fastest selling cars in the United States were Toyota and Lexus products? I'll scroll down just a little bit so we can see it all the way down there. Let me just read out to you the first six fastest selling cars nationwide. We've got a Toyota Corolla with a 31 days supply nationwide, Toyota Camry with a 29 days supply nationwide, Sienna's supposedly with a 29 days supply. Would love your comment on that. The Lexus GX at a 28 days supply, Highlander at a 28 days supply, and RAV4s at a 28 days supply. So you're talking about incentives maybe starting to come back a little bit, but holy cow, this data paints the picture of, like, you know, things are still difficult out there for Toyota dealers. What's your commentary on that?
Yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it is a little bit more difficult, right? Like if you're comparing us to some of the other models, I would say that's the case. But, you know, the last few allocations, we have seen some of our strongest allocation numbers, which is great for us, you know, as we've just been trying to get our hands on inventory. So, you know, we've seen some stronger allocation numbers, but, you know, it's interesting. A lot of the ones that you're showing that are Toyota's top selling, like consumer car, like, you know, the Corolla, the Camry. And I mean, we're right here next to where the Corollas are built. And even then we're seeing, I mean, at any given time, I may have one or two on ground if I'm lucky. You know, we may see, I think I've actually got my inventory pulled up. So we're a pretty, you know, we do a lot of business. So we get a good chunk of our region's inventory. And I mean, right now I've got three Corollas on ground and two of them just hit today. Wow. So part of that is that, but, you know, all I can say is at least I got two on ground. That's new.
It's two more than you used to have. Can I ask you, how long have you been doing this?
Me, I've been in the business for 5 years.
Okay, so you started prior to COVID. What was the normal inventory for your store 5 years ago?
5 years ago, we probably had 200 units on ground, you know, at any given time.
And what's that number today?
Today on ground, we have, let's see, we have just under 100.
So you're at about half.
Correct.
Of where you used to be.
Now, granted, used to, we were like in our region, we ranked probably 50th. So our allocation numbers weren't that strong. You know, in today's world, we're up in the top 10, which means we're getting a large percentage of the region allocation, you know, so we could facilitate more purchases and, you know, help you guys out more.
Gotcha.
That actually further validates your point, though, Pops. It's like if inventory was even half over the course of pre-COVID, post-COVID, that'd be kind of shocking. But if inventory is half and you've also dramatically increased your share of allocation, that even further demonstrates like, yeah, inventory levels are still, they're better than they have been, is what I'm hearing from you, Tyler, but like they're still, go for it, Pops. Sorry for interjecting.
No. I was just, I mean, to think that you took an underperforming store, which is what you're describing, if you rank like 50th in the region, and now you're in the top 10, and you still can't get any real inventory to speak of. I mean, imagine where you could be in sales if your on-hand inventory was actually 200 cars today, as opposed to just under 100. Imagine a world where a customer would come in, they'd find a car on the lot that they liked, and they could buy it and take it home. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, I mean, and I will say this, we are starting to see a little bit more of that, which is exciting. Like, I've actually, you know, we partner with CarEdge, which is a great partnership, you know, just getting good pricing to consumers out there where there's so many dealers jacking it up, especially Toyotas with the day supply dynamic to it, right? They're like, make the money while we can. You know, we're still doing fair pricing. And so being that we have that inventory on ground, you know, if you're looking for a Toyota, I might have it go to CarEdge, you know, and let Zach know or contact us directly and we'll see if we can't get it for you. But I've got inventory to sell, right? Which is, you know, exciting. I mean, I can't say more than that. It's just like been so hard for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we talk about a couple? I want to pull on a couple threads here, Tyler. So one is, you know, in our conversations, I've been having conversations with other Toyota dealers out there. It does seem like the tide has turned a little bit, like allocations are going up. So pricing is getting a little bit softer. So talk to us a little bit. One thread I want to pull on is, what are the makes and models that actually, you know, inventory is growing. We do see incentives. We do see dealer discounts on. The other thread I want to pull on after that is, can you really help us understand like where we're bouncing back from? So like, what was the lowest low for y'all at Chugga in terms of inventory availability, things like that? But the first one, you know, shine a bright light for us on the good news. Like, hey, inventory is actually a little bit better. What are the makes and models that you're actually starting to see some, you know, some movement on?
So, yeah. So we're seeing some movement on, of course, Tundras. A lot of your more expensive vehicles, minus the Sequoia, because they don't manufacture enough of them. But the Tundra, we're seeing some movement there, some incentives, some good rates. They actually, you know, dropped a 2.25 interest rate on the Tundra this month, up to 48 months, which is the lowest we've seen since the pandemic. Forerunners, they never traditionally do incentives on Forerunners, and they still haven't dropped any like rebates or anything, but they did drop a really enticing leasing incentive on Forerunners this year or this month, which was pretty awesome. Siennas, we can't get us keep a Sienna on the lot. They're all selling. Grand Highlanders are selling. Any Highlander, Hybrid, Platinum, you know, those are all, we can't keep them on the lot. But we're starting to see RAVs, a lot of RAV4s, some Camrys hitting the ground. You know, and then as like during the month, we'll sell out of Camrys, we'll sell out of Corollas. Like your lesser expensive models are they go pretty quickly. So, you know, it's really the more expensive things that we're seeing the fluctuation on, again, minus the Sequoia and the Sienna. And then there is, you're starting to see fair pricing on your consumer, you know, your consumer model cars.
And then help us understand a little bit. So like at the height of the inventory shortages, did you have 50 cars on the lot? 75 cars on
during
the lot?
Inventory shortages, there would be no cars on the lot. Like we, which granted, we are a big time used car dealer as well. You know, we price really strong on our used inventory, which creates a big flow there. So we were selling, you know, 200 used cars a month easy while trying to facilitate the new. And then, you know, we started also purchasing a lot of new cars and really even overpaying for them at auction and things like that, just to have, you know, almost new inventory available to sell the consumer, you know. And you know, the margin on those aren't great, obviously, because we're paying, you know, we were paying $3,000-$4,000 over list price at auction just to get them here and then turn around and sell them to the customer, you know, for as cheap as we could.
Yeah. But I hear you. I mean, there was a period of time where there were no new cars on the ground and you were don't take this the wrong way, but a glorified used car dealership, which is
for sure. Fine.
But that I think puts in perspective for folks, hey, if there's 100 cars on the ground, that is actually things finally getting a little bit better. Go for it, Pops.
Have you seen an uptick in leasing?
I have seen an uptick in leasing, especially. So one of the huge bonuses with leasing is like during COVID, when people would lease, you know, leasing sets your residual. Well, when they were coming in, that residual was way, way lower than market value. So they were making money on their product, just, you know, getting it to the dealer. And so, you know, like that gave a positive outlook on leasing and then also created understanding to consumers that leasing maybe wasn't as scary because it protects you from the market. You know what I'm saying? If the market crashes and vehicles aren't worth, well, then you get out, right? Because you have a residual contract that lets you out free. But if it does great, then you make money. And with Toyota, I find that leases, at the end of a lease, you almost never have a situation where you don't have a little bit of equity where you can just flip into the next lease. It makes it pretty easy because they hold their value so well.
Really interesting. Hey, do you mind if I go to the chat, Pops and Tyler?
I'm good with it.
Yeah, you're the director.
If you're interested, if you start a YouTube channel, Tyler Toyota Talks, that could be Triple T. that could be your calling. We've had many community members ask about the Stout. Do you have any news or insights on the Stout, Tyler?
I don't. They haven't gotten anything, but I think today they are releasing releasing the new 4Runner picture. So we should see that today.
Yes. Yeah, we do have a big announcement coming later on today from Toyota about the new 4Runner. So that, you know, Lumber Jeff asking the question, will Toyota end up flooding the dealers with the prior? Which I think, if I'm not mistaken, the 4Runner hasn't been updated since like 2009 or something like that. So this is it's been a long time.
you don't Toyota time. Doesn't prioritize updating the vehicles that sell without updates. You know what I mean? And the crazy thing is, you know, they asked, will they flood the lot? I don't think that they'll flood the lot, but there is this world which you should not be afraid of hybrids, but the 4Runner is going to be a hybrid platform. And here in the South, when people hear about batteries and hybrids, sometimes they get a little bit nervous. And so we saw, like with the Tacoma, when the new style Tacoma came out, we sold bukus of the V6, new and used, you know. So I expect them to, you know, inventory to remain, but I still think that we'll sell a lot of the V6 prior to the new.
What's going on with the Mirai? You got one?
We don't have a Mirai. We don't have a Mirai.
They would only be in California anyway, but yeah, that's the one miss from Toyota that we've seen recently would be the Mirai. From Brian here, any idea when prime vehicles will become more available? I know, Tyler, we've tried to help many of the CarEdge customers out with some of the prime vehicles and even the Prius. Like, some of them are still really hard to come by, but any insight on primes?
We don't see that many of them. RAV4 primes, like we may have maybe a handful this year. I mean, in this year, maybe only like two. They're just not manufacturing them as much as the others, but they are doing, they are getting out more hybrid RAVs, and which has been good.
Definitely. A couple more questions here in the chat, and then I know we don't have you all day, Tyler, but we appreciate the time. Tundra or Tacoma, which one do I purchase? What do you think about that question?
It depends on what you like. If you want a full size or a middle, you know, size, a mid-size truck, I will say that you will get a much better deal right now on a Tundra than you will a Tacoma. You know, a Tundra, I mean, we have Tundras that we are selling with rebate $7,000 below MSRP.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. Hey, one more for you here. We've got from Christopher. Can we get an explanation on TSRP versus MSRP? My dad and I blasted that when it originally came out, Tyler. Maybe you can set us straight. Like, why did Toyota go towards TSRP? Do you know, instead of just sticking with MSRP? We found it confusing.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that either, honestly. I think they were just trying to, you know, roll with everything that was going on, and like a, you know, this is the suggested, but some dealers weren't following that, you know. I can't really give insight into that. I know that we work off of the, what do they call it now on Dealer Daily? It's we work off the total SRP. And it may have to do with like ads mainly, but yeah.
We found it confusing when it originally came out, because, you know, consumers are used to manufacturer suggested retail price, and now there's this new construct of total suggested retail price. That being said, for those of you playing along at home, when you go to buy a new car, just look for the SRP. There's some sort of suggested retail price. If it's a Toyota, it'll have a T in the front. If it's all the other brands, it'll have an M. That's what the manufacturer suggests the vehicle should transact at. Pops, I want to toss it over to you because, again, I want to be respectful of Tyler's time. What's going through your head or other things that you want to ask Tyler about why we got him?
Well, what's going through my head is, once your inventory builds up again, and it will eventually, it might not happen to any great degree this year, do you think you might have to retrain your staff as to what it's actually like to sell a car as opposed to just take an order for a car?
You know, we, Ray, if, yeah, get me on a soapbox here a little bit. No, I mean, if we got into it, I will say in the sales world, it has been very different over the last years. I mean, when people call and they're like, do you have it? And you say yes, and like, okay, I'll buy it. It changes the entire dynamic of selling, but for us, it doesn't. Like, so we started with our used cars. We price better than anybody. So when somebody calls, my sales staff had easily been able to go, can you find one cheaper? And they go, no. And I say, okay, well, you can buy this one at this price. And if people are like, okay, great. They already know it's a good deal. People are shopping online. You know, it's part of it. So not only in the used car dynamic, but in the new car dynamic, it's been really easy for our people. But with that shift, you know, we are having that conversation of like, hey, you don't leave your customer on red, you know, or like, you know, if they call, you call them back. Like, there's a little bit more effort that goes into now trying to manufacture a sale or take care of a customer than that, you know. And so it definitely is some retraining. There's definitely some like coaching. There's definitely some encouragement of like, hey, I know you've been spoiled for 2 years, but this is what it looks like to be in the car business.
This is reality.
Yeah, hey, one more comment here from Bayou Repair Guy. Thank you, Bayou Repair Guy. If Toyota came up with a low price work truck, I own a service company and I would buy 25 of them, but they won't do it. Such an interesting comment, because we've seen the Ford Maverick do so well for Ford. And there's obviously, this is, you know, ties in with the Stout comment from before. Seemingly such an interest for this type of vehicle from Toyota. It makes you wonder if it ever will show up stateside.
You know, there's the rumor mill is rolling, you know, but we there's always the rumor mill, right? And we never know what's really going to hit until they actually do a formal announcement. We're hoping for that. There are some things that we see that may or may not come. It's going to depend a lot. But, you know, the Tacoma has always essentially been that for businesses. And it's really been a great investment for businesses because it's, the resale on it is so strong. So they could take it, they could run it for 250,000 miles, and then they still get a strong resale after they're done with it. So the cost, the usage cost on it is really minimal, even though it costs a bit more than like some of these. But like you take a Maverick, for example, yeah, you're going to get it for cheaper, but what's it going to be once you put 250,000 miles on it? It's just a different dynamic, you know?
Well, the issue I see is, you know, if you're going to try and put 250,000 miles on a Ford Maverick, it's just going to take you decades because every 6 months it'll be in the shop and then you're getting out of the shop and you're waiting for the part. And then that, so, you know,
I didn't want to dog them or anything, you know, it's just, you know, the Tacoma is probably one of the best vehicles made in the resale, like when it comes to resale and retaining value. So like if I was a business person, like I would spend a little extra money for that product because I'm looking at what I'm going to get when I'm done with it. And I'm going to, it's going to cost me much less and my company much less to run that vehicle.
Definitely. Hey, well, Tyler, thank you so much. Tyler's with Chuck Hutton Toyota. Obviously, if you're interested, you can reach out to Tyler directly, but there is special pricing for CarEdge customers. If you go through CarEdge, obviously trying to keep people, on our good side, making sure that we're doing the work for the consumer. So Tyler, thank you for taking time out of your busy day to spend it with us, sharing some Toyota insights. And we look forward to having you on again in the future.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. And thank you again, Ray. Thanks, Zach, for having me. If anybody is looking for a Toyota, make sure you hit us up. Let us know you came in from the show. And, if I've got it on ground, we'll make a deal for you. So just let us know.
Sound like a true car guy, Tyler. Sounds just like a true car guy.
Hey, that's my job, right?
It is.
My job to take care of these customers. So let's go.
Thanks, Tyler.
See you, Tyler. Thanks so much. That's funny, man. You're so right.
Hey, I pitched the same thing. I admit it. You know,
it's funny, man. That's awesome. I do want to pull back up. We were looking at it. You know, like the fastest selling cars in the country right now, 60% of them are Toyota and Lexus products. So there is good news. Like, you know, we heard from Tyler, like inventory is finally starting to pick back up a little bit. We are starting to see allocations improve. And in the same breath, look at that. We've got 60% of the fastest selling cars in the United States of America coming from Toyota and Lexus. Learn anything new there from Tyler Puffs? What's going through your head before we do our favorite segment?
I learned what we thought was happening, which is inventories are finally starting to build up, not to any great degree at Toyota, but any improvement is a needed improvement in inventory levels at this point. And I was happy to see that there's been an uptick in leasing. Leasing had always been a decent percentage of sales for Toyota in the past, and they kind of let that slip by the wayside. And leasing is a way for many people who are just payment conscious. It's a way for many people to be able to actually afford the payment on a vehicle as opposed to actually trying to buy it and finance it for 6, 7, or 8 years.
We've got to hear from Aries. Aries, thanks for the kind contribution. Buying out of state through CarEdge. How are trade-ins handled? Carrier drops off the new one and loads the trade-in. How is the carrier paid? At CarEdge, if you buy a car through CarEdge, we handle all logistics. So you don't have to worry about how the carrier gets paid. We handle that behind the scenes. In terms of how it actually works, we'll actually use the CarEdge.com/sell to get offers for your vehicle. Share them with the dealer that's selling you the vehicle that we're fulfilling or facilitating. See if they'll match it or beat it so you get the sales tax basis benefit. And then handle the transportation of that. So it's pretty white glove, full service on the trade-in front. Aries, thanks for your question. And then we've got from Brian here. Thank you, Brian. I wish Toyota had not gone with the turbo on the Tacoma, bought a new Frontier this year because of that. Interesting. You know, we even heard from Tyler, like some of the pushback in his area of the country. People are not interested in the hybrid or battery electric. So, you know, there's definitely, when it comes to powertrain, people have different preferences.
It's always going to be that way. People hate the fact that there's 3-cylinder turbo cars out there. They exist. Many of the engines are really good engines. You know, I've been driving the 4-cylinder turbo minis for years. Um, they're, there's plenty of power and plenty of pickup, and but it's whatever you prefer.
Yeah, teach their own. All right, Dad, you ready?
Yeah. Really? You gotta be kidding me.
Toyota dealership in Arizona will pay $60,000 to settle claims it advertised deceptive prices. This comes on the heels of five New York Nissan dealers settling lease buyout cases with the attorney general for $2 million. Really, you got to be kidding me, because you know what? It's about damn time these stories are getting the press that they need and states' attorneys generals are finally starting to step up. Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays's office said Tucson car dealership Desert Toyota omitted mandatory accessory costs and reconditioning fees from its internet prices. We got some money going back to consumers, Dad, because of false advertising.
Well, you know, you got to be kidding me, is that there's are some states out there that are willing to put forth the effort and hold the dealers accountable for fraudulent advertising. It is not as if this doesn't go on in every state of the union. And, you know, I understand that the consumer affairs divisions in the attorney general's office might not be the largest staffed group, and they might not have a lot of investigators, but it is such common knowledge that many automobile dealers for years have been advertising prices on the internet that are not prices that they will actually sell the vehicles for. So if everybody knows it, and everybody does, then it's about time that the states protected their own citizenry. You know, an attorney general is an elected position. You run on a platform. Part of that platform has to be taking care of your constituency. And if you know in your state that your dealers are screwing over your citizens, do something about it. And so, you know, I thought, well, my goodness, here's two stories that appear on the same day in automotive news in two different parts of the country where the state's attorney general's office has held dealers accountable. And it's time. There is no reasonable or good excuse for this not to be going on, happening in every state. Every state needs as many dollars as they can get. Here's an easy way for you to get dollars. You can find the poop out of your dealers that are fraudulently advertising and put that into the general budget.
Yeah, I like to think of it as, you know, so what we just read there was, or I can share more details. Essentially, this is an Arizona Toyota dealer. So keep that in mind, Arizona Toyota dealer. The Attorney General Chris Mays said the store's prices failed to include the full reconditioning fees the dealer charged and the cost of mandatory additions such as exterior coating and door edge guards. Quote, this comes from the Attorney General, dealerships cannot lure consumers in with a low online price and fail to honor that price once the consumer arrives at the dealership. Now, the reason I'm harping on this being an Arizona and Toyota problem is because it's not an Arizona and Toyota problem. This is happening in all of the United States, and it is not brand specific. And so to your point, Dad, there is the opportunity for enforcement. The FTC Cars Act, if you're unfamiliar, Google search FTC car buying rules, space car edge. We have an incredible library of resources on this, and we are huge supporters, and we're actually working towards building a network of our own dealers that we work with that have said they're going to abide by the FTC's cars rules, whether they go through or not, because NADA is trying to block them. I mean, this is in every state for every brand. And to your point, that it's not only thousands of dollars typically per customer that could be going back to them as payment. It's also thousands of dollars, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars that could go to the state. So go do your damn job.
Yes.
Clean this industry up. Why are you relying on us to do it? Like, there's a huge opportunity here. But it was refreshing. Two stories in automotive news this morning. different things, but same concept. Yes. Other one was lease buyouts, illegal fees. Can't say illegal because they remitted no wrongdoing. Fees on leases that you shouldn't have to pay, but maybe not fees illegal because they admitted no wrongdoing. I don't know.
Fees on leases that were not specified in the lease agreement. And yeah. And all fees that have to be charged if you buy out your lease vehicle at the end need to be notated on the lease agreement at the time of signing. It's not that dealers can just suddenly invent fees and charge you for them. And that's what these dealers were doing. And yeah, one of the most wonderful things about this country is that dealers will write the checks for the fines without ever admitting any wrongdoing. I don't know about you, but I'm not writing a check for $500,000 because I didn't do something wrong. Or in the case of the Napleton Group in Illinois, when they wrote a check for over $10 million. You don't write a check for over $10 million because you didn't do anything wrong. You wrote that check so that you don't have to admit that you did anything wrong. But the point is that there's laws, rules, and regulations already on the books in every damn state. And this stuff is happening in every state and is up to the individual attorney general in each state to want to enforce those laws, rules, and regulations. If they choose not to, it would seem to me that perhaps you should check out who's contributing to their political campaigns so that you have a better understanding as to why they're not enforcing the rules and regulations.
I want to show everyone, we are a lot of talk, but we are also action. Humor me for a moment, folks. We're actually going to go to the Google machine. So google.com, and we're going to type in how to contact my state's attorney general, Carriage. Not now. Oh, no, it was supposed to come right up. How to report a car dealer, Carriage. Wait for it. Here we go. How to file a complaint against a car dealership. Sorry, guys. That's the thing to search is how to file a complaint against the dealership with the attorney's job. Like, we've created a guide that literally has a list of all the state's attorney generals here so that you can find it. Who's your current state's attorney general? Let me zoom out. Who's your state's attorney? How to contact them? I think we even have, yeah, like we have all
probably,
sorts of
probably needs reports to be updated in some cases. Yep. And maybe I'll take a look at that today and see what updates it needs.
Yeah, I would really appreciate that, Dad. And if you could get with Justin on the team, we can definitely update that. Justin, if we can also update that table to be a bit more responsive, that'd be greatly appreciated. We have here from Marcus.
Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you for the contribution. I sent an email to you regarding the deal for a 5.0 F-150 I got. If you want to share with your viewers. Okay, Marcus, give me a second. I'll update. Let me check my email. Bear with me. I don't want to share your personally identifying information. While I'm looking for that, shamelessly going to ask, can we get up to number one on the podcast chart again? We're number 12 right now. Daily news you can use from CarEdge. Any of you that listen to the podcast, or if you've ever thought about listening to this show as a podcast, can you please give it a listen, leave us a rating, all that fun stuff. Doug DeMuro is number one right now, man. And I would just love for us to be number one for even just a second, just one day. It boosts our ego. It really, we appreciate it.
I might take you for a steak dinner if we ever get there.
Hey, last time we got to number one, I took you for a steak dinner. So.
I know.
I'm looking here. I don't see a recent email with a Ford deal. Someone sent us a Kia for $354,000. Oh my God. I don't see, Marcus, I don't see your email. So maybe try emailing it to me again so I know right when it comes in, I can grab it. I think, Dad, unless you have anything else, that's the show. CarEdge.com if we can help you. Thank you, Tyler. Boom.
Yeah, I have laundry to do. So, yes, that's a show. Ray's going to do laundry now and maybe have some lunch.
Enjoy, Pops. We'll be back tomorrow, 9 a.m. Pacific time, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thank you, everyone, for spending some of your day with us. And check out the podcast, Daily News You Can Use. Love you, Dad.
Love you too, handsome. I'll see you tomorrow.